There we go. Now we're in good shape. We're in good shape. All right. Yeah, great service so far. Pretty touching. But at the same time, there's a solemnness to this whole thing. You know, a lot of heartbreak, a lot of hurt going on. And that can drag you down sometimes. So we got to be careful of not being dragged down. And that's one of the reasons that we come to church, right? Is to lift each other up, right? And we're going to talk more about that in a minute. But that's what the message is about. Why do we come to church? Why do we come to church? And we're going to talk about a lot of different things. But I'm going to have these two young children and the young mother come on up here, if they will. Where is she? And we're going to see. I didn't tell them I was doing this. Other than right at, I said, I'm going to borrow your kids today. But I'm curious to see what they think, why it's important to come to church. So we'll start with Pat, because he's the older one. Harry's not here. He knew better not to come today.
This is Christian camp, does
that help? No, he's at Christian camp. Okay, so that doesn't make me feel so bad. All right, so Pat, tell us why you think it's important to come to church. What do you think?
Because you have to spend time with God, because we don't always do it when we're at home.
Oh, okay. So we got to spend time with God because we don't always do it when we're home. Is that a true statement? Yeah. You can't get more true than that, right? Sometimes when we're at home, we're not doing what we need to do, right? How about Marie? I'm going to see if Marie comes up with something.
To learn about God.
Yeah, very good. Mom, why do we come to church?
We come to church because Mama needs all the help that she can get. That's the truth. To make me better. Yeah. To make me a better mama.
To make me better. Interesting.
So yes. I can be a better mama and a better wife. And a better community member, and to follow all God's ways because they are true and right, and it makes our life more peaceful.
Yeah, so a lot of good things.
Read Marie's t-shirt to those on Zoom.
Oh, that's right. Mimi. Ain't no Mimi like the one I got.
Now, where's Mimi?
Where's Mimi? Mimi's here. There we go.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, thank you. The little whole family here. So precious.
You're okay too, Papa.
All right. So we heard some reasons, right? And maybe I'll get involved with some of you as to why you come to church. But and there's a couple things I want to go over. Over the years, I've heard many people talking about why they go to church, and many more telling me why they don't go to church. You know, and some of those reasons on both accounts are biblical, and some are not. Right? So we have these reasons that we come to church that aren't really biblical reasons why we come to church. And there's sometimes that people are saying that they don't come to church, which really aren't biblical reasons why they don't come to church. So we're going to go through some biblical foundation here of why we come to church, right? Some reasons that people say that they don't, that they come to church that aren't really biblical, that they, you know, that they do come to church and they're, it's really not a biblical statement. Things like I've heard people say, I will go to hell if I don't go to church every week. Anybody ever hear that? I've heard people say that to me. If I don't go to church every week, I'm going to hell. They believe that. It's not really biblical. It's not biblical. Nothing really bad will happen to me if I go to church every week. I've heard people say that. Anybody hear that? God will be angry with me if I miss church. God will be angry with me if I miss church. Heard people say that. God will punish me if I don't go to church. The reason this bad thing happened to me was because I wasn't going to church. Not really biblical. You can't find in the Bible stuff that says that. That I found anyways. Now we got some reasons that people say that they don't go to church. It's just a building. I can connect with God anywhere. Is that a true statement? That is a true statement, right? You can connect to God anywhere, right? You can. But there's reasons beyond that, beyond connecting to God, to why we come to church, right? And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit more. I've heard people say, I don't like, and we're going to fill in the blank here, the music that's played. They play too many hymns. They don't play enough hymns. The music isn't my style, right? The sermon is too long. The sermon is not long enough. The sermon isn't on topics I want to hear about. Maybe the preacher said something that you didn't want to hear and deal with. I don't want to deal with that, so I don't want to hear about it, right? All right, let's see. Maybe it's something that somebody else said in the church. Maybe it's something somebody else said in the church. You didn't like to hear. You didn't want to hear. You didn't want to have to deal with. Maybe they said something that was off base. Off base. And all of a sudden you're like, well, I don't want to go to that church. I don't want to go to that church because that one person said something one time that was off base. Maybe we say the Lord's Prayer too much. Maybe we don't say it enough. Can you see what's happening here? Like there's all these excuses, right, that come into play. Something as simple as a flag being hung in a church has become a hindrance to some people. Okay? So these are all things that people say and deal with. Like this is holding them back from coming to church. Holding them from coming back to church. The people who go to church are a bunch of hypocrites. Anybody hear that one? Are we a bunch of hypocrites? We are.
Sometimes.
We are sometimes. We are sometimes. The problem with the church is not that we're a bunch of hypocrites. It's that we don't take accountability. We make mistakes and we're not accountable for them. We make excuses. We make excuses instead of owning up and saying, listen, I'm a regular person. I go to church to help prevent me from doing stuff like this, but I mess up sometimes. And this time, I messed up. Right? Please forgive me. You saw me as a hypocrite. I'm glad you're calling me out. How many people say that in this country? I'm glad you're calling me out on my flaw. No way. Right? The one thing, I see preachers fail all the time and they get up on the news for having an affair or for doing things that are ungodly, money issues, money laundering, money, like you see preachers doing this all the time. And they don't get up and say, I messed up. They make excuses. They try to justify. And what does that do to the unbeliever? What does that do to the unbeliever? Or maybe the believer that isn't coming to church. Right? That screws them up. That messes them up. Because they see the hypocrite who isn't accountable. Those are things that we have to consider. How about this one? The people who go to church think they're better than the rest of us. Have you heard that one? Oh, they think they're superior. They got it made with God, and they know all. They know all. When you work with the public, this is what you hear. These are the conversations I have with people. I trusted someone at church and they stabbed me in the back. They stabbed me in the back. I confided something with somebody and they turned around and told other people about what I confided in. Steve brought up the thing about confession. The reason people don't want to confess in church is because they don't want the whole world to know what their problems are. There's a lack of trust. I didn't hear a lot of confession today when he said that. There's a lack of trust there within the church. Because we all have things we could confess. And they don't have to be grand things. They don't have to be grand things. But if you want to break a chain, the best way to break a chain is to confess that chain. That's what breaks a chain. But it's hard to do if people are stabbing each other in the back. And I'm not saying that's happening in this church, but I'm just saying it happens. And maybe it has happened in this church. Yeah.
And I think what comes to me right now, right, is it's not that we as Christians don't make mistakes. When you talk about confession, I've had a couple of friends lately that I feel as if I said too much or spoke too quickly with all the yuckiness that's going on in the world. For me, fear can set in sometimes.
That's a confession.
It is. And when it happens, though, I think the beauty of it when you know Christ is that you have an opportunity to, you might look bad in your flesh, but you are glorifying the holy God when you confess in front of them.
Yes.
And you can say, I messed up.
Yes.
That's not God's mistake.
That's not God's mistake.
But guess what? He accepts us as the imperfect people we are.
Right.
He provides us a way out to the ways in which we need to grow. I say burn it out of me.
Yeah, burn it out. Burn it out.
The only way he's going to burn it out of us is through our own flesh pain.
Yeah.
So it hurts us some kind if I just die to self and think, thank you, Father, for this opportunity to fall on my face in front of my friends and then to say, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
This is what I did wrong. Please forgive me.
Right. Yeah. Right.
It's just like a way to model Christ. And
yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. And that's breaking things down, isn't it? And nothing's going to break things like that. So we know now that fear is a hindrance there for Heather, right? How do we break that chain? Well, we pray for her. For that reason. Specific reason. Right? We're not judging her. Right? Because she's fearful. We're all fearful at times. Right? But if we need prayer to break that fear, we need to tell people. And that's why we come to church. That's one reason we come to church, right? How about some other reasons that people don't come to church? It's too far. It's too far. It's too far in this country to drive 20 minutes, 25 minutes, 30 minutes. When there's people in other countries who are actually walking 2.5 hours without shoes on to go to a church service. And yet we're, Dummer, New Hampshire's it's too far.
Is that in 31 below?
I don't know if it's in 31 below, right? I'm not advising people to walk to church in 31 degrees. But
we would do it.
I'm telling you, there's people out there that would do that to hear the good news of the Lord.
Yeah.
They would. And we look at them and say, wow, that's crazy. My car was too cold coming into church today. I actually parked my car at somebody else's house because we have to be off the street and Haley's home. And so we have too many cars in my parking lot. I don't have space for it. So it's just up the street down a little bit. I had to walk to my car this morning to get here to church. It was brutal. Somehow, And it was uphill a little bit. It wasn't that big. It was just a little hill. But somehow, I was able to do that and still get here. Steve, you got something?
Yeah, Linda and I were talking about that this morning. I go out and do my 20 minutes of chores with my animals, right? And she's cooking up. I get the meal cooked up for after church. And so we were talking about that. Her parents, or her mother, and you know my mother, not only did that, but they fed four kids or five kids. And my dad did 3 hours of chores before, but I can't remember ever missing church as a kid.
Right.
Somehow, they did that.
They did that.
We're trying to figure out how we're going to do it just the two of us.
Right, right.
Maybe we're getting a little soft.
Well, maybe we are getting a little soft. Maybe that's what I call the wimpification of America. And it's a true statement. We are not the tough country that we used to be, that's for sure. We are not. We've gotten spoiled. We've gotten spoiled. And when you say stuff like that, you can recognize how we've gotten spoiled. All right, how about churches too early? Too early, man, am I tired? I just want to sleep. I just got to get my sleep. It's too early. It's too early. I've heard people say it's too late. Oh, it's going to interfere with the Patriots game. Patriots play at 1 and church is starting at 11 at some places. Oh, I can't interfere with the Patriots game. It's just starting too late. Goes through lunch. Can't do that. Can't go. It's too late.
Zoom.
Right. Nowadays we can do Zoom, right? They say mean things there. And what they mean by this is they get convicted. They say mean things there because we tell the truth, right? And some people relate that is to mean things, right? God's standard is hurtful sometimes to hear. And our flesh wants to push against that. And so our interpretation of that is that they are mean. The church is mean. Right? And part of that falls onto us, and that's why I'm kind of doing this, is it falls onto us to educate them that the reason that we're telling them what God's word says is right is to make their life better. Right? So that they don't fall into the pitfalls that are gonna happen if you go against God's word. Okay? And we're not doing a good job explaining that to them. All we're saying is don't do this and don't do that. And this is against God and that's against God. That's what they hear, right? But we're not finishing that. God doesn't like this because he's trying to help you navigate this life in a better way so that you don't have to suffer in 10 minutes. 2 years from now, 50 years from now. I hear all the time at work, if I would have known 20 years ago, I would have taken better care of my body. If I would have known 20 years ago, I wouldn't have done this because it hurt me now. Okay? And what God's trying to do is the exact same thing. Is he saying, don't do this because it could affect you later on. So it's not a matter of him thrashing us. It's a matter of him loving us. And we got to tell the people this. So the reason I'm going through, where we're going to go through some scripture on why we come to church is so that when you run into an unbeliever, or even a believer that isn't coming to church, you can say, this is why I go to church. And believe it. Because it comes out of the book that you're saying you believe. Okay? There's three really biblical reasons if we are going to categorize everything into a summary of three things the main reasons that we say we come to church is, one is for God, right? We want to worship Him. We want to pray to God, give Him thanks, confess to God, right? Really, that should be number one, right? Number one should be all about God, right? He is number one. We got to have the right hierarchy in how we view things. God is number one. Everything else is second. Everything else is second, right? So we did a good job of that today. We worshiped God in a beautiful way today, didn't we? By talk and by song. And then we prayed to God, right? We're covering the bases, right? The second reason is to edify. Who knows what it means to edify? What? Educate? Yeah. What's that? Build up. Through education, we can build up, right? So to instruct and improve, especially in moral and religious knowledge. To instruct and improve, right? And improve. We're looking to improve. Every time we come into a church, we should be hopeful that we're going to walk out a better person. Even if it's a tiny, tiny bit. Even if it's a tiny. Sometimes it's grand, right? Sometimes we could have some revelation that floors us and we change tremendously. That's beautiful. But sometimes it's just a little bit. Just a little bit. To learn about Jesus, listen to God's word, right? That's what it means to edify, right? To edify. And then the third one is to equip. To equip, right? To furnish for service and action by appropriate provisioning. To furnish for service and action by appropriate provisioning. To make ready, right? To make ready. That's what we're trying to do. We're equipping each other. This message is to equip you so you can go out in the world and utilize what's being said to help further the kingdom of God. Right? We use tools, education, Bible verses to go into the world and be the light. Fight off evil. That's how we're equipping. Right? And it doesn't have to come from just the preacher. It comes from each of you. It comes from each of you, and you're going to see that when we go through this. So I'm going to go through some scriptures kind of quick here at the beginning, just to kind of, I'm going to summarize. So if you want to write down, you can go back and look at them. I'm not actually going to read a couple of the verses that we're going to go through, because I have quite a few verses, and I don't want to cram your brains too much with stuff. But you can go back and look at these next couple that we're going to go over. But these are, one of the reasons we come to church is we need reminders. We need reminders. We get all kinds of reasons why we need reminders, right? Sometimes we're just stubborn. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes it's just good to have somebody and say, remember this. This is what God's word says. To encourage us when we're beat down. When we're beat down. So we need reminders. And we hear these when we come to church. So some examples of this are, and I'm not going to read them, but I'm just going to, Ephesians 2:10 basically tells us that we come to church to be reminded why we are here. And I just looked in the light and now my eyes are... why we are here and we have a purpose that God has planned for us. Okay? That's what that verse is going to talk about. Why we are here and that God has a purpose planned for us. You got to remember that. That's the reminder. Okay? It's important to understand that. 1 Peter 2:10. We come to church to be reminded that we are God's people, not people of the world. We are God's people. You're special. You're chosen. He's working through you. The whole part of Revelation 21, does that sound familiar, Heather? Now, what's the chances of Heather talking about 21 and 22? And I have written right down here, Revelation 21. To remind us what we have to look forward to, our heavenly prize and being with God. Who said that? That was you, not Heather. You're out. You're on. Crystal said that. Right? Does that... Now, Crystal said that, and I have it in my notes to preach on. Do you think that that's important? That's probably important. So right now, we've lost a lot of people. Right? Would it be good to go back and read Revelation 21? Remind us. We need these. Reminders. Right? Remind us what we have to look forward to. Our heavenly prize. And being with God. Now, I wasn't... That whole chapter summarizes that. So go back and read it. Put that in your notes. Revelation 21. John 3:16. We all know that one. And we need reminders on that. Boy, you know why we need reminders on that? Even though we say it all the time? It's because we say it all the time. We take it for granted. We've become so accustomed to listen to it that we forget the meaning because we've said it so much. We've said it so much. And what we need to do is say it and maybe meditate on it. Right? We say John 3:16 and then we just ponder on it. Sit quiet. What does God say through that? How special you are as a person that He sent His only Son to be crucified and rose from the dead. How special for you, each one of you. And we need that reminder in that way. That through His pain and suffering, it was meant to free us. To free us. All right. Jerry, I'm going to have you pull some up. Romans 10:17. It should be right at the bottom of the first sheet. This is probably the most basic thing that we come to church for, right? So faith comes from hearing. That is, hearing the good news about Christ. Right? That's what we come to church for a lot. We come to church to hear God's word. Right? It's important. If you don't hear it, sometimes you forget about it. If you don't hear it often, you stop living it. Hebrews 3:12. Be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. You must warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. That's why we come to church, to exhort one another. Do not be hardened by sin. Do not let your sins pound you down. Right? And how do we do that? We come to church to be exhorted of that. How are we supposed to do that if we don't gather and get to know each other? How do we do that if we don't know each other? That's why I like small churches. Mega churches, I think, are awesome for getting pumped up. But I like small churches so that we can get to know each other. Right? And we can prevent each other from falling into pitfalls. Right? Calling each other out a little bit. You're not going to walk up to somebody you don't know and say, "Hey, I know your sin, and this is what you're doing." Right? There's a way of doing things. And the first thing is to build a relationship. And you can't do that if you're not gathering together. And you can get, and I'm not just talking about being at church for the Zoomers. Like, this is a weird time. This is a weird time. Right? We got a nasty virus going around. And that separates us. But guess what? Just like Louise said, we're connected through Zoom. So we can still build a relationship with each other. And we can still encourage and hear about things that Jerry was talking about, where we can go and help each other. Do you think if somebody's in their home because they're on Zoom, that they may have some needs where they can't go out and get food or medication? And it would be a good idea to reach out to those people and say, "Hey, do you need anything?" Right, Jerry? That's what you were saying. Do you need anything? The people who have spouses that are going to be having surgery or procedures. Jolinda with a bad arm, and Matt's gone a lot of times. Do you need somebody to go over and help with snow removal? Use the snowblower. Use a shovel. Right? These are things we're meant to do for each other. And we can't do it if we don't know. And we're not gathering. Hebrews 10:24. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Ta-da! Ta-da! Right? And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. Is His day of return drawing near today?
Oh, yes.
My goodness.
Yes.
My goodness, it feels like that is going to happen. Encourage each other. Build each other up. That's why we're here. That's why it hurts if somebody tears somebody down and says stuff that they shouldn't be saying to other people. This should be a church of building up. Every church should be about building each other up, encouraging, because we all deal with fear. We all have insecurities. We all get angry. We all lack trust in God at times. And if you're saying no, boy, that's good for you, but I don't know. I don't know. Right? And we need encouragement. I need encouragement. Right? Hebrews 4:12. I'll stay in Hebrews for a little bit. For the word of God is living and powerful. Who believes that?
Yes.
It's living and powerful. This book was written a long time ago, but it deals with today. the issues that you read in Revelation with the churches, right, are still happening today. It's living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of souls and spirit. Piercing that. Piercing the division. And of joints and marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God is living. And we come together to learn the Word of God. You can do this on your own. But it's difficult to stay motivated. It's difficult to stay motivated. When I work out these days, I'm working out alone. And I have to really talk to myself some days when I'm tired to do that. In the past, I had a workout partner. And when I felt like that, or if he felt like that, one of us would motivate the other one to go. It was easier. I'm telling you, it was easier then. It was easier then because we motivated each other. We need to be motivating each other to learn about the living Word. The Rhema Word. Who said that today? The Rhema Word. You did when we were praying in there. Nobody else heard that. Marie said the Rhema Word. She said, let this be a Rhema Word. Let this be a Rhema Word. The word for today. Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpens iron. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Right? You ever try to sharpen a knife in the air? Have you ever done that? It doesn't work too well. It doesn't work. You can wave that sword all you want. It ain't sharpening. It ain't sharpening. It needs something else. It needs to rub against something else to sharpen. And that's what we need. We need to be rubbing each other so that we become sharper and sharper and sharper. Knowing this word so good that when people question us, we're not thinking, I don't know. That's a good point. You make a good point. Maybe you don't have to come to church. When somebody says, hey, I can connect with God out in the woods. True, and you should be connecting to God out in the woods, right? But there's more to it when you come to church. You're not sharpening each other when you're out in the woods by yourself connecting to God. Romans 12:6. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership abilities, take the responsibility seriously. If you have a gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. So, we come to church to learn about our gifts. You have gifts. And really, to be honest, God gave us enough gifts in this church to cover everything because He didn't give all the gifts to one person. He gave each of us gifts so that we can all contribute to cover all areas, to cover all areas of need within the church. And that's why I really feel that somebody is called to help with the children. Because we have nobody stepping up, and God doesn't provide people into a church without providing people for everything. Jerry has been in the back here learning for about 3 months. It's a process. It's not easy, is it, Jerry? It is not easy. And he is stepping up and filling that need. I can do it. I got enough on my plate. I can also teach Marie and Patrick. I'm fulfilling my purpose right now. And maybe that will be part of it. But I really feel like somebody in here is meant to fulfill that purpose because you have a gift that God gave you, not to just sit and hang out, but to use. Right? That's one of the reasons we come to church, is to fulfill your purpose within the church. Corinthians 12:7. This is what it kind of confirms that whole thing. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. That's what it says. A spiritual gift has been given to us to help each other. Straightforward, right? Straightforward. There shouldn't be any confusion there. To be used for good to benefit each other. Galatians 6:2. Share each other's burdens. In this way, obey the law of Christ. Do we have burdens? My goodness, we have burdens. And we are meant to share that with each other. No one person can carry the load of burdens that we have. Jesus Christ can. But he's the only one. He's the only one. We need to carry each other's burdens. Right? If we're not gathering together, we can't do that. We can't do that. Galatians 6, we already did that one. Let's go down to Hebrews. Back to Hebrews 10:24. There's a lot in Hebrews on this. Huh? Hebrews 10:24. No, we already did that one too. Never mind. Scratch that. Matthew 26:26, 28 through 28. This is when it's basically talking about the Last Supper. That's what this little section is. And so communion, right? Communion is another way we come and gather together, right? You can, and we're doing communion. We try to make sure that people know on Zoom when we're doing communion because we can still be connected that way, right? But we want to be connected when we do communion, right? Jesus didn't do communion by himself. He brought the apostles in with him, right? They shared in communion as a group. 1 Corinthians 12:14. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, does that not make it any less a part of the body? And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? Right? We all have purpose. We're all part of the body. We need to be a whole body. A whole body. This way we can do all things that need to get covered. A whole body. Continuing on. But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part of the part just where He wants it. Right? There's people that have callings for certain things, and God placed it there where He wants it. Don't ignore your callings. Don't ignore your gifts. How strange a body would be if he had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. We need you. We need you. We need each other. We need each other. It's important. In fact, some of the parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. Just because you think you can't do it, if God is calling you to do it, He's going to get you there. You got to trust that. He's going to get you there. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen. This building doesn't get clean by itself. Joker is on Zoom, but he is essential to this building. He cleans this. He is not seen. Okay? He's doing his gift. That's his gift. 24. While the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. Okay? He cleans the toilets. He cleans the toilets. That's important. It's not the most dignified job. It's an essential job. Okay? Think about this stuff. It's amazing. This Word of God, the Word of God is amazing, isn't it? This makes for harmony among the members, so that all members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. All the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. Right? When I see Crystal up here crying before worship, that hurts. That hurts inside. As it should. As it should. Because as she's suffering, I'm suffering with her. And I don't even know what she was crying about. I don't have to. All of you together are Christ's body. And each of you is a part of it. Each of you is a part of it. We are blessed in this church. You got people stepping up more and more. We still have needs, but we have a lot of people stepping up. And we can't take that for granted. These are God's instructions. These are God's instructions. Why do we come to church? To support each other. Carry each other's burdens. When one's suffering, we're all suffering. Proverbs 22:6. Direct your path, children, onto the right path, And when they are older, they will not leave it. We need to train the kids in faith. And we're dropping the ball a little bit in this church on that. We're dropping the ball a little bit. And we need to be better at it. The kids are the future. Somebody asked me, how's your youth program up there at church? They had three kids. And I'm like, right now, it may not be the church for you right now. And that hurts to say that. That hurts to say that to somebody. I know some churches that, and I directed them to churches that have really great youth ministries. Because to them, that was very important. That was very important. And if it's important to them, my goal is not to fill this church. It's to save their soul. It's to save their soul. So if I need to direct them to another church to save their soul, then that's what we do. But I don't want to. I want this church to have a good youth program. Ephesians 4:11. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work, build up His church and the body of Christ. We come to church to be equipped. And there is a burden for me and Steve right now to do, and Claude and Joe to do that. If we're not doing that, we're missing a mark. We're missing a mark. It's very important to us. John and Bob are involved in that. The worship team is involved in that. People who do communion are involved in that. If we're not all building you guys up and equipping you, we're missing a mark. That falls on us. So if you see a lack, then you call us out. Because sometimes we miss it. We are not perfect. So don't be afraid to call each other out and us. I'm going to close with Psalm 133. It's a short psalm. It's only three verses in it. So, how wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. How pleasant it is. Boy, when we're all on the same page, is that a good feeling or what? When we're all supporting each other, we're all filling the needs, that's a good feeling. That's a good feeling. We're in harmony. For harmony is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head, that ran down his beard and onto the border of his robe. Harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountains of Zion. And there the Lord has pronounced His blessing, even life everlasting. Harmony. Harmony has pronounced His blessing. We need to be in harmony. We need to be encouraging each other. If you see somebody do something good, praise them for that. Praise Him for that. If you see somebody struggling, don't beat them down more and tell them all their problems. Lift them out of that. Show them a way out. And we all know what the way out is here, I think. as I look around here and on Zoom. I see a bunch of believers who know that the way out is through Jesus Christ. Right? That's the way out. That's the way out. No one should be coming to church because they have to. You should want to. You should have a yearning to. For all these reasons plus more. There's a lot more in the Bible that we could go over. This is a snippet. A snippet. But you should want to come to church. You should be built up in faith through church. You should walk out of here preparing and being prepared for the week ahead. Because most of these messages, to be honest, is a message of preparation. Because the battle is out there. And we're all feeling that battle. We're all feeling that battle. That's why it's important to be equipped. To know who is number one. Who is number two. Who is number three in your life. So that you get the order right. And when you get the order right, other things fall into place better. Not perfect. Nobody's saying perfect. There's no promise of perfection. But better. To be close to other believers. To get to know each other. Help each other. Equip each other. Have some tough conversations sometimes. Have some talk. I love to pray for people. And I want their prayers to be answered. But we also got to get to the root problem sometimes. And sometimes to get to the root problem takes some tough conversations. And the only way that can happen is if we're helping each other and loving on each other. It's the only way. But not only for our benefit, but to get to know our Lord and Savior. If we know Him more, we have a relationship with Him more, the less chance we're going to fall and make bad decisions. Okay? The more we're connected with Him and want to please Him, like children with parents, just looking for approval. I want approval from God. I have a yearning to get approval from God. And you should have that same yearning. You want to be approved by God. You want to be approved by God. So there's a lot of reasons we should be coming to church. And not because somebody's forcing you, not because Reggie brought a message about it, but because you want this stuff. You want to be equipped. You want to be in harmony. You want to be pleasing to God. That's why we come to church. Dear God, we just love You and thank You. We just know and trust You through our doubts, through our misunderstandings. We want to be pleasing to You. We want to help each other. We want this church to be a real church, not some show obligation. We want to come because we love to come. And that can only happen through You. We lift this day up to You. We lift this week up to You. We know we have challenges. We're battling the best we can. We're falling short sometimes. But we're going to keep pressing into You. We're going to press into You because we've been built up by each other. We're all one part of one body. We're connected. We rely on each other. We're reaching each other. We need your help always. Always, always. We need your guidance always. We love you and thank you. Amen.
Amen.
I got a song we're going to play. And this is a Lift Me Up song about church. It's Zach Williams' old church choir. When you go out of here, I want you going out with a smile on your face. A smile on your face.